In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, I heard a little bit about Ole Olsen again up there at New Ulla, Minnesota. Kind of bad news, really. Ole getting on in years, and he was not doing very well. In fact, he was dying. And Dr. Uppadol said that he probably wouldn't make it out, last out the week. He had a hospital bed in the living room, and he was sometimes in and out, sometimes lucid, sometimes not. But he was lucid for a little bit, and he was sure that he smelled Lena's famous soft chocolate chip cookies, the smell wafting out from the kitchen. And he thought to himself, oofta, if I could just have one of those cookies one more time, I could die a happy man. Well, he couldn't walk. He flopped out of bed, and he just crawled his way into the kitchen. And he went to reach up. They were all cookies cooling on the kitchen table. He went to reach up to get one of those cookies one last time. And Lena slapped his hand away and went, get out of there, Ole, those are for the funeral. Well, that may have been the truth, but it was not the most loving thing Lena had ever said. And St. Paul, in our second lesson for today, said that we should speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Well, for a lot of people, those look to be two separate things. Either I'm going to speak the truth to somebody, or I'm going to be loving to them. But I can't do both. So for a lot of folks, when they say they're going to speak the truth, you can usually hear the shell shucking in the chamber right before they talk. And they blow you away with some little bit of truth. Or sometimes it's, I ran into this a lot at the treatment center, the drug alcohol treatment center, is that people would wait until they get about half loaded, and then they would tell somebody the truth. There's an old Latin phrase, in vino veritas, which translates to in wine there is truth. Yes and no. There may be partial truth, but it's usually drug distorted, so it's not really the truth. So here's an example. We had a guy in treatment years ago, and he liked a really nice cleaned up house. He liked it to be pretty spiffy, ran a tight ship. He didn't do anything to clean the house. His wife did it all, but he wanted her to keep a really nice house. And she was a little more casual about house cleaning than he would have liked, and it was bothering him, and he began to build up some resentments. Well, then he got drunk, and what he wanted to say to her was, I am disappointed in the way the house looks. But he got drunk, and what he actually said was, you're a goddang pig! Is that the truth? No, it's drug distorted. It's not the truth, really. So sometimes people have problems either saying the truth in love. And in the Christian church, we have the same thing that happens. We come to church, and we see other people doing things that, you know, we think might lead to trouble, but we don't say anything because, you know, it's none of my business. Who am I to say anything? Well, you are a fellow child of God. That's who you are. And you have the responsibility, not only the right, but the responsibility to be helpful to other people. This is a congregation I heard from Bob that has a history of, at least maybe in the past, I don't know anymore, of some of the older fellows taking some of the other younger fellows by the ear and telling them that they're maybe not headed in the right. Is that not accurate, Bob? Names like Wade and Bill and Herb and Henry and Herman, you know, names like that. Does that come to mind, Bob? That they would grab a young fellow by the ear and say, hey, what are you doing? Which explains Bob's cauliflowered ears. But anyway, they believed that they could speak the truth in love to them. And they did it because they were concerned. Well, that's what we can do. Now, today let's be really practical about this. I don't want to just tell you this is what we should do. I'm going to show you how to do it. So we'll rehearse this. We'll practice this a little bit. Okay, here it goes. When you talk to somebody, your first thing is you have to look at your motivation. Why am I saying something to somebody? Am I saying that because I care about them and I want to be helpful? Or am I saying it because it's fun to blow people out of the water? Am I saying it because of false pride? I like to point out things to other people because that makes me feel better about me because they look worse. What's your motivation? That's the first thing. The next part of this is whenever we want to confront somebody, and confronting is always done on the level. Condemning is done from up above. Confronting is on the level. Whenever we do that, we're saying, I'm in the same boat with you, but this is what I see. And we start out not using the word you. You don't ever start these out using the word you. Like, you always do, and you certainly don't use the word always or never, because nobody always does anything, and nobody never does anything. They may do it 90% of the time, but they'll find the other 10% that they didn't. So you don't start out with you. You don't use the word always or the word never. You start out with the word I. That makes people less defensive. And then you follow I with a feeling word. Now, a lot of times people will say, well, I just went into my boss and I told him what I felt. Well, they probably didn't. They probably went in and told their boss what they thought, which is much different. Feelings you can do in one word. I feel mad, sad, glad, scared, bored, tired, calm, uneasy. One word. You can always do. If you start saying, I feel that, you shouldn't. That's not a feeling. That's a thought. So we look for a feeling word. And I'll give you the shorthand that I use. I use four different words. And these feelings will encompass 90% of whatever you feel. And the other 10% you have to figure out. Mad, sad, glad, scared. Now, under those four major categories, then you look for the intensity level of what it is. So I'll give you an example of this. Let's say that I have some anger towards Dick. He's handy. And he likes to be picked on. Then I have to figure out how intense is the anger. Am I annoyed? Or just even less than that, miffed? Irritated? Ticked? Angry? Enraged? Seething? Or homicidal? Well, I'm not too angry really with Dick, so I just say, Dick, you know, I'm annoyed when you do this or when you do that. And Dick goes, oh, well, I didn't realize that. Or he'll say, yeah, well, who cares? But, you know, whatever he says, it's good on two accounts. One, I let him know what the issue was. And if Dick doesn't want to do anything about it, I got rid of it. So, you know, I'm not letting him live in my head rent-free forever. So now I'm done with that. So I say, I'm annoyed with this, Dick, and this is what I'd like you to do, and I'm willing to do this. Okay. So let me give you an example of this. So let's say, Kathy, you're kind of in charge of worship now, right? Okay. So Kathy would come to me, and she would confront me, and she would say, Pastor Cal, I'm a little frustrated because, you know, you plan different things for the service, special things, and you don't tell me about it. So I don't know, if I don't have any water in the baptismal font, and you got a baptism, and or, you know, you're not having communion, and we set up the communion stuff. And so I would like you to keep me informed more. It'd be a lot easier for me to do this. And I would say, well, yeah, I can see that, Kathy. You're right. I haven't kept you up as much as I'll work on that. I'll do better. And then Kathy would say, okay, that's all I wanted. And then we'd be done with it. See how that works? So you start out with the feeling, you find the right intensity level, mad, sad, glad, scared, up or down, how intense is it? You say that, and then you take care of business. Because in the Christian church, just like in your home, not every day is smooth. There are times when you live with people, you go to church with people, and you work with people that they will rub up against you in the wrong way. It's inevitable. St. Paul was under no illusions that the Christian church was this perfect place where everything always goes swell. He knew that it's chock full of sinners, and sinners are going to rub up against one another in the wrong way. But he wanted us to do as much as we could to speak the truth in love. So, let's give that a shot, shall we? Let's not just sit on things and let them be resentments and build up. Let's go to the person that we have the issue with. Don't talk to everybody else and list them support on your issue, on your side of the issue. Go to the person that you have the issue with speak the truth in love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.